Looking for truth, I found answers.
I thought I had it all figured out. Then I found purpose.
I was lost, but then I found a place to belong.
I was abused, but now I'm healed.
I was in chains, but now I'm set free.
I was bitter. Then I found grace.
If you have a Bible, I want you to take it and go to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. So Daniel's one of those major prophets after Psalms and Proverbs there. Today and for the next few weeks, that's where we're going to be. While you're turning there, let me make a few statements, and then let me know if you agree with them or not. Okay, true or false? Here's the first statement. There is no political savior on the horizon. Anybody think that's true or false? You mean Trump's not the savior? Or Hillary or Bernie? No. Matter of fact, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, our cause is lost if we're looking for victory in the political realm. Things that make you go, Here's the second statement. The culture around us has changed dramatically. Yes, true. How about this? The culture and the government, in some ways, is increasingly hostile toward followers of Jesus, right? And then because of those things, our future is somewhat uncertain. Yeah? We don't know what's coming. Anybody have a prediction for what's going to happen in the fall? Yeah, I don't either. We don't know. And so wouldn't it be great if God had a book called Culture for Dummies? What if there was a book that showed us the way to deal with the moral dilemmas that we are now living with. You know, in our world now of same-sex marriage and transgenderism and mass shootings and human trafficking and all kinds of things, things that even a few years ago seemed incomprehensible or foreign to us. Wouldn't it be great to have that book? You're not sure? I'd pay a lot of money for that book. I've got some really good news, though. That book is in the Bible. It's the book of Daniel. And I think that the book of Daniel and the story of Daniel is probably more relevant to the culture and the world that you and I live in than any other book of the Bible. All of God's word is applicable and helpful. Hear me, that's why we're reading the one-year Bible. We read it every day. But I think Daniel's story and Daniel's adventure in Babylon is going to provide great lessons and a roadmap for us not to just survive the culture, but thrive in the culture. Because let's be honest, there's a lot of different questions that people have about the church and the culture. Some people say, well, you know, you should stand against culture. Let's just stand against everything. But that can be seen as contentious. Do we stand down from culture, or is that compromise? Do we stand aside from culture? Don't even mention it. Don't even talk about culture. You know, the church has nothing to do with that. Well, that might be cowardice. Or do we stand up in the midst of an ungodly culture? Now, that would take courage and conviction. I think Daniel shows us this last pattern, and it's going to be helpful to all of us. And so, for the next few weeks, we're going to be studying the book of Daniel. And I think you're going to be fascinated by the similarities in Daniel's circumstances and the ones that we're living in even now. Remember, Daniel was taken out of Jerusalem, the home and the country that he grew up in, and he had to live in a godless city called Babylon, which became a spiritual lion's den for his fellow Israelites. And so I want you to grasp what we're trying to do. I think Daniel provides a roadmap for you and me for how to live in Babylon. How to live in a culture that we don't recognize. How to live in a culture that's growingly hostile toward us. Now remember, Daniel's a book of history and a book of prophecy. You know, the first few chapters of the book of Daniel, you've got the lion's den, you've got the fiery furnace. We're going to talk about those in the next few weeks. But the last part of Daniel is a book of prophecy. We're going to talk about that as well. Now, we did a 10-week Bible study on the book of Daniel last fall on Wednesday nights here in our service. And so, if you'd like to go deeper into what we're studying, you can get the notes at the bookstore out there, and then you can listen online on the Grace app or the website, okay? So, let's start today. Here's today's big idea. Hopefully, you'll follow along in your notes. Here's today's big idea. Daniel didn't just survive tough times. He thrived and grew and had a major impact on people and nations and history. Daniel's spiritual resilience is a model for each of us as we face uncertain times in our lives. So this first thing I want to show you from Daniel is Daniel's spiritual resilience. What do we need to survive and thrive in this new culture? We all need Daniel's spiritual resilience. That's the first lesson that we're going to learn. So let's define resilience. If you look it up in the dictionary, the word resilience means the capacity to recover during tough times. So if somebody is resilient, they get knocked down, but they get up. You know, things are tough, but they don't quit. That's being resilient, right? Another definition of resilience is the ability to spring back into shape. Kind of like a rubber band. You can stretch us, you can pull us, but we are going to bounce back. How many know that's resilient? And that's a picture of us and what we need to be in the culture that we live in. If we're going to survive and thrive in this new culture, we all need spiritual resilience. So what does that look like? What did that look like for Daniel? That's what we're going to learn today. Four R's, write the first one down. If you're going to be spiritually resilient like Daniel, then we need to resolve. Spiritually resilient people resolve to honor God no matter the price. You and I have got to make a decision that no matter how the culture changes, no matter what happens in our culture, we will honor God no matter what. when it's popular and when it's unpopular, when it costs us nothing and when it costs us everything. In order to be like Daniel, if we're going to be resilient, we've got to make up our mind, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Remember Elijah on the mountain in 1 Kings, he says, you got to decide, Baal is God or God is God, but you can't be between two opinions. I mean, that's exactly what's happening in our culture. The culture is making us choose. And we have to choose like Daniel to resolve to honor God no matter the price. Now, that's easy to say on Sunday morning in church. It was really hard for Daniel because we open up in Daniel chapter 1. And remember, Daniel wrote this story, and it opens up in 605 BC at the height of Babylon's glory and power. But for Daniel and his country, it was a tragic time. Let's read verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. He invaded it. He took it over. He conquered it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the articles into the treasury of his God. Now, remember, the kingdom of Judah, where Daniel was born and raised, had been declining for some time. The glory days, the golden days of King Solomon and the temple and all of this, it was gone. It was in the past. Because king after king in Israel had committed sin and idolatry. And so the spiritual state of the country was declining quickly. Sound familiar? So God loved Israel enough to send prophet after prophet. He sent Jeremiah, he sent Isaiah, he sent many more to warn the Israelites to repent and turn to God, but they did not listen. And so as a result, God finally judged Israel. Listen closely. God loves us enough to send people in our lives to warn us about our sin. But there will come a time where God says, the only hope for you is judgment. That's scary, isn't it? That's exactly what happened to Israel. God sent prophet after prophet. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't heed. So finally, the answer was judgment. And so God judged Israel. Now, sometimes I think we read stories like this and we get pictures in our mind of VeggieTales. And we start singing songs like, the bunny, oh, I love the bunny. I gave everything. Anybody have a clue of the song I'm singing? Then why did you make me sing it solo? Why didn't you join in? When we think of Nezer the giant pickle, no. This was serious business. I want you to imagine what Daniel would have seen when all of this took place, because King Nebuchadnezzar in history was notorious for his cruelty and his violence. I want you to think about these verses and what that means. When Babylon besieged Jerusalem, it means that Daniel saw a lot of people die. If history is true about Nebuchadnezzar, he probably saw a lot of his friends beheaded. His home was probably burned to the ground. Some of you know what that's like, to have your home burned to the ground. Not only that, but the temple of Jerusalem was invaded. This holy of holies, this place where Solomon did the sacrifices, where the glory of God fell, was now ransacked by heathens. This was a very terrible time for Daniel and his friends. And then we don't know anything about Daniel's parents. We don't know if they were killed. We don't know that if he was forced to be an orphan or separated from them. But we know that after all this took place, Daniel and many of his fellow Israelites were on a forced 900-mile march to Babylon. He said, we're going to take you out of your hometown, out of your home country. We're going to take you to a country that you've never been to before, but you don't know the language, you don't understand the culture at all, and now you're going to live there. Now, the Bible lets us know that Daniel was a teenager during this time, probably 15 years old. Does anybody remember what it was like to be 15? Some of you have to remember a long time. Yeah, I vaguely remember. But you know, when you were 15, Daniel was 15 years old, and the Bible says that Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, somebody picked Daniel and his friends to be part of a cultural training, or a reconditioning program, or a cultural sensitivity training. And so they pick Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they take them for 3 years, and they train them the Babylonian language. They train them in history, of course, according to Babylon's perspective of history, political propaganda, the arts. History says that they would have learned the sciences and the black magic of Babylon at that particular time. That means they probably made them read some Harry Potter books or something. I'm not sure. Oh, it's going to be that kind of series. Well, it might be. Listen, they were indoctrinated by the teachers of Babylon for 3 years. Now, Daniel's 15 years old. Now, I'm trying to remember what it was like when I was 15, but I'm pretty sure the biggest thing I had to overcome was acne on my face. You know, things like that. But listen, as a young boy, Daniel could have given in to despair or hopelessness, or he could have just blended in with the culture. But did Daniel do that? No, he did not. Listen, verse 8 says that Daniel resolved not to defile himself. Think about that. New culture, new land, new everything. Easily could have given up. Easily could have given in. What's the point? I'm a victim. Look at all these things that God let happen to me. No, the Bible says that Daniel resolved to honor God. He resolved to honor God's laws. And listen, we have to choose in the current culture. Are we going to honor culture, or are we going to honor God? And we've got to make up our mind before it all goes down that we are going to honor God. No matter what. Now, how many would agree that Daniel's resolve served him well? Daniel was in a lion's den, and God closed their mouths. Daniel is given such favor in Babylon, he literally becomes the second in command in this foreign country. And he served there for almost 70 years. How did all of that happen? How did Daniel not just survive in Babylon, how did he thrive there? Listen, honor God in all you do. Let's resolve to honor God in our families. Let's resolve to honor God in church. Let's resolve to honor God where we work. Let's resolve to honor God in our relationships. Even when the rest of the culture says, forget God, forget those rules, forget... No. We're going to honor God. That gives you resolve. Amen? Now, if you're going to be spiritually resilient like Daniel, number one is resolve. Number two, the second R is to respond. If you're going to survive and thrive in this new culture, we've got to learn to respond to cultural challenges in the opposite spirit. We need to recognize the spirit of our culture and respond in the opposite spirit. Make sense? If it doesn't, let's look at Daniel chapter 1, verse 6. Among those who were chosen for this reconditioning program were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Now, I want you to notice something. So Daniel responds to, how does Daniel respond to this new culture, new language, ungodly people? Listen closely. Daniel chose to accept some things. He accepted a new name. He could have said, my name's not that guy, Belteshazzar. Some of us can't even say it. My name's Daniel. You're not going to convince me to change my name. The Bible says they gave him new clothes, taught him a new language. Did he resist all of that? No. He accepted some things in order to survive and thrive in battle. Does that mean spiritually he compromised? No. He did accept some of the changes in his life in this 3-year indoctrination. Listen closely. One of the challenges for the American church is how to respond to culture the right way. Listen closely. Let's be honest. Some of us who have been following Jesus a long time refuse to accept any changes at all. And it's like we stick our head in the sand and say, the world's not changing, the world's not changing, the world's not changing. And we don't accept anything. We don't accept any changes at all. So church should be the same as it has always been. Don't shout me down. Listen, if we're going to be like Daniel, if we're going to survive and thrive in spiritual Babylon, I'll make a case next week about why this is spiritual Babylon, we're going to have to accept some changes. Without, well, I'll save that for next week. Those of you, I didn't say those of us, those of you that are older, I didn't put myself in that category. I'm middle-aged. I'm somewhere in the middle. Those of you that are older, and I'll be honest, this affects me too, it's difficult to accept change. It's so hard. You know, when you're young, change is good. You want change. More change, better. When you get older, it's harder to accept change. One of the ways things have changed is the way we communicate. You know, it wasn't that long ago. I remember getting my first new cell phone. Now everybody's got one. And then everybody forgot how to spell. And they started using abbreviations, right, to communicate. It's not laugh out loud, it's LOL. It's JK. Some people even talk like that. I'm concerned for their future. We have English teachers who go to our church that can help you with stuff like that. But I found a middle-aged texting code list that will help you embrace the culture, okay? Ready? I've got a cheat sheet here so I can help you out. ATD at the doctors. BFF. Best friend fell. BTW. Bring the wheelchair. BYOT. Bring your own teeth. FWIW, forgot where I was. GGPBL, gotta go, pacemaker battery low. Am I helping anybody? Man, I'm gonna save you so much time. GHA, got heartburn again. IMHO, is my hearing aid on? LMDO, laughing my dentures out. OMMR, on my massage recliner. Honestly, this one's my favorite, ROFLACGU. Rolling on the floor, laughing, and can't get up. And of course, TTYL is talk to you louder. Now, Daniel accepted a lot of new things in Babylon, new name, new clothes, but the scripture says he resolved not to defile himself. Now, watch closely. He said, you can change my name, you can give me new clothes, but I'm not going to eat your food. Isn't that amazing? What is it about the food that, you know, Daniel would accept all of these other things, but he wouldn't eat the food? Let me make a case for this. I think Daniel was responding to the spirit of Babylon and the opposite spirit. Now pay attention. What am I talking about? Let's define what the spirit of Babylon is. What am I talking about when I say the spirit of Babylon, and what in the world does food have to do with that? Well, in Isaiah 47, Isaiah prophesied about Babylon. Remember, Isaiah was with Jeremiah prophesying about Babylon. And look at what he says about Babylon. Therefore, hear this now, you lover of pleasures, who dwell securely, who say in your heart, I am, and there is no one else besides me. Isaiah says, the spirit of Babylon is me, me, and me. I love me, some me. I'm all about me. about pleasure, about happiness, about me. So the spirit of Babylon is a spirit of selfishness, a spirit of self-promotion, which is, by the way, the exact opposite of the spirit of Christ, which is lay your life down for others, right? So if we're going to recognize the spirit of Babylon, ask yourself, why did they pick Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be part of this cultural reconditioning program? In Daniel chapter 1, it shows us why. The Bible says that they were young men, young, without any physical defect. They would probably look good on a magazine. Handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning. They were smart, well-informed, quick to understand, qualified to serve in the king's palace. They'd probably win The Voice or American Idol. I want you to notice, Babylon chose young, smart, handsome, well-informed, sharp. Babylon says, bring me your young, bring me your smart, bring me your talented, your beautiful. Babylon celebrates the intelligent, the good-looking, and the talented. Doesn't that sound like our culture? The selfie generation, right? Where it's all about me. Listen, we live in a culture that puts a premium on how good we can look and how long we can make it last. There are billions of dollars spent in our culture to make us look younger than we are and make it as last as long as we can. You know, we don't just have phones with cameras. We have phones with cameras with filters to put us in the best possible light. And then if we don't like that picture, now we have Photoshop. Right? And Photoshop makes us look better than we ever dreamed. Sometimes not so much, but that's another message. Listen, why? We are an image-based society. We're obsessed with self, self-absorption, self-consumption. I believe that's the spirit of Babylon. I believe that's the spirit of the culture we live in today. Same spirit. But look how Daniel responded to it in Daniel chapter 1, verse 5. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. So what was this issue of food? What was Daniel having a problem with? Now, there's a lot of different opinions about why Daniel didn't eat the food, but can I go ahead and tell you, I think it's the reason is because it was food from the king's table. And the king's table represented Babylon. Whenever I want, how much I want, whatever I want. Choices, 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 much like America. What do you want to eat today? I don't know. Talk about. I don't know. When is, I don't know. Choices, 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 right? That's our country. The best of the best from the king's table. And indulge, Babylon says. Overindulge, Babylon says. But Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, the next verses say, Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. So the guard took away their choice food, all the choices, and the wine they were to drink, and gave them vegetables instead. Now, I don't know what spiritual movement chooses vegetables over choices food, but I don't want any part of that. Can I get a witness in the house of God? So I don't think it was about the actual food they were eating. I think it was the culture that he was rejecting. A culture of overindulgence, a culture of self. Listen, Daniel chose to reject the spirit of Babylon and chose the opposite spirit of self-denial. Do you see this? Babylon operates in self. Daniel operates in self-denial. Babylon operates in pride. Daniel operates in humility. Babylon operates in arrogance. Daniel operates in submission. We're going to thrive and survive in this current culture. We need to pretty much decide whatever this culture says spiritually, we react in the opposite spirit. This is a culture full of anger and rage. So we don't respond with rage and anger. We respond with peace and grace. This is a culture filled with bitterness and unforgiveness. The people of God respond with forgiveness and mercy. The culture we live in is dishonest and deceptive. The people of God respond in the opposite spirit of walking in truth and in integrity. Are you getting this? So Daniel did not say, we're just going to go along to get along. He says, no, I'm going to act in the opposite spirit, and God gave him victory through that. Somebody say amen. Beth Moore put it this way in her Daniel Bible study. She said, we've been assigned to this world, and it has been assigned to us. Will we influence it, or will it influence us? If we're going to be spiritually resilient, we've got to resolve to honor God in everything we do. We've got to remember to respond in the opposite spirit. And I think this third R is very important. We've got to learn to relate. Spiritually resilient people are committed to living in spiritual community. If you're going to overcome, if you're going to last, if you're going to make it serving Jesus in spiritual Babylon, you're not going to make it by yourself. You need people. You need other people of God to help you. Daniel had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They prayed together. They ate together. They fasted together. They studied together. And as a result, they succeeded together. You get that? Now, let me illustrate this point to you from the history of Israel. I want to show you a map. Right after Solomon was king, the Bible says that Israel was divided into two lands. There was Israel in the north, Judah in the south. Israel had 10 tribes, and Judah had 2 tribes. So there became 2 different kings and all this type of stuff. Israel and the northern kingdom really started sinning. Their judgment came first. And so Assyria came and invaded Israel and scattered them throughout the Middle East. And what conquering nations would do is they would not just invade and conquer, they would take their people and scatter them. And then they would plant their own people in the place where they conquered so they'd never have to worry about them again. And so the people of Israel are scattered all over the Middle East. And listen, they disappear from history. Now, there are theories and there are conspiracy theories. There's all kinds of theories about what happened to the lost tribes of Israel. But we know they're never heard from again. Now, later, Judah is invaded later by Babylon. But when Nebuchadnezzar invades Judah, what he does, he takes the people of God, takes them back to Babylon. But instead of scattering them, he allows them to stay together in Babylon, in a community where they stuck together. Some of you are getting this already. See, the Israelites from the northern tribes, deported by the Assyrians, don't live in separate communities, and soon they drop their Yahweh religion and their Hebrew names and identities. Whereas the people of Judah, who stayed together in Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq, 70 years later, when God judges Babylon, the Israelites come back to Jerusalem and rebuild. And they're there to this day. I hope you see this. If you're going to thrive and survive in a new culture, you're going to have to learn to relate to other people. Spiritual isolation won't work in Babylon. We need each other. We need the church. We need a spiritual family. I need friends. I need people who will pray for me, encourage me, challenge me, hold me accountable. I need people to walk through valleys with me. I need some valley walkers. I need some people who love me enough to get in my face when I'm not where I should be. Come on, somebody. I need to go to church. Oh, Pastor. Yeah, I just go to church whenever I want. You know, sometimes I go here, sometimes I go there. Let me just go ahead and shoot straight with you. Can I shoot straight with you? Because I've never shot straight with you before. Well, let me back up. Several people have recently began following Jesus because of Easter and just before and good stuff. Let me help you out. Who's going to make it to the end and who's not? Can I tell you that if you get connected to a spiritual family, committed to a spiritual community of believers, we call that the church, and you stay committed to that, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have some highs. You're going to have some lows. You're going to have some good times. You're going to have some hard times. You know what? But at the end of the day, you'll still be there. You'll make it. But can I tell you, if somehow the enemy can separate you from a spiritual family, if somehow the enemy can separate you from other believers in Jesus, you're not going to make it. Daniel and his friends illustrate this, that if you're going to thrive and survive in Babylon, you got to be committed to the family of God called the Church of Jesus Christ. So go ahead and go to Growth Track. Go ahead and come to Small Group Connect next Sunday. Why? Spiritual survival. It really is that important. It really is that serious. We've got to live in spiritual community, which is why the writer of Hebrews says it this way in the scripture, do not forsake assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and even more often as you see the day approaching. The Bible says in the last days, as we race toward the end of time, don't go to church less, go to church more. Don't let your schedule get in the way of spiritual community. Make it a priority so that you can make it. Did you know in other cultures around the world, it's illegal to gather together for church services? And yet believers risk their lives and go to great lengths to pray and worship and encourage and testify with other believers. Why do they do that? Because of this verse right here. We need each other. We need to encourage one another. I want to just challenge you and encourage you. Listen, this is not about a number or a thing. This is about spiritual survival in Babylon. Let's make it a priority in our lives. If we're going to be spiritually resilient, we've got to commit to being part of a spiritual community. And everybody said amen. Last one. We're about to pray. Here's the last R. If you're going to be spiritually resilient, you need to remember that life and even suffering has meaning and purpose in the eyes of God. Now, this is the part everybody's going to laugh, because I'm going to preach on suffering. Daniel witnessed a lot of suffering in his life. In spiritual Babylon, the people of God may suffer. I know that's not popular preaching. And I know you can go to 100 other churches where somebody will tell you everything's going to be okay. You just keep your head down and keep living one day at a time. Everything's going to be okay. Do you believe that? I don't either. My Bible says that in the last days there will be terrible times. It's going to get harder and harder to serve Jesus. It's going to get harder and harder to be who we've always been. So this is how Daniel helps us. Because I want you to look at the book of Daniel and remember it's written from Daniel's perspective because he wrote it. Let's reread verse 1. And I want you to notice something you may have missed the first time we read it. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim into his hand. What? Daniel said, and he wrote this later as he was older, when Babylon invaded Jerusalem, God delivered Jehoiakim into his hand. How could he say that? How could he say that God was the one who allowed this to happen? How could he say that God is the one who delivered Israel into the hands of Babylon? Daniel was a contemporary of a prophet named Jeremiah. You remember Jeremiah? The Bible calls him the weeping prophet. I'm pretty sure Jeremiah was not the speaker at any church growth seminar, because all he does is cry and warn. He wrote the book of Lamentations, which is a book about crying. But Daniel was alive when Jeremiah was prophesying to Judah. And Daniel would have heard Jeremiah say things like this. Behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words nor my law, but they have rejected it. Jeremiah goes on to say in his prophecies that Daniel would have heard, thus says the Lord, behold, I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and your eyes shall see it. That's how we can say we know what Daniel saw. I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive to Babylon and slay them with the sword. Now, this is before Babylon invaded Judah. And yet Jeremiah prophesies very in much detail who's going to do it and where they're going to go. Moreover, I will deliver all the wealth of this city, all its produce and all its precious things, all the treasure of the kings of Judah, I will give into the hand of their enemies, who will plunder them, seize them, and carry them to Babylon. And Daniel saw all of that take place with his two eyes. And I'm wondering when he saw Nebuchadnezzar come into the city. I'm wondering when he saw the relics, the artifacts, the instruments of worship in the temple being carried away by Nebuchadnezzar's army. I'm wondering if he's got Jeremiah's words ringing in his ears. God warned us. God gave us in great detail a warning about what would happen if we did not turn to God. Daniel would have had this in the back of his mind when Nebuchadnezzar shows up. So how did Daniel accept this suffering? How did Daniel accept, in his friends, how did Daniel not just thrive but survive in this new setting? When we're 15 years old, a lot of us would probably have given up. Listen, Daniel gives us perspective in chapter 2. Daniel blessed the God of heaven, and he said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. Daniel said, God is always in control of who is in control. God is always in control of who's in control. That's what Daniel says. God put Jehoiakim as king of Judah. God allowed Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar to take over Judah. At the end of the day, it's not about who's president. It's not about who's the king. It's about who is God. That's where we get courage. That's how we walk through valleys. That's how we overcome even when we suffer for doing good. Because we remember, it's not always going to be like this. There will be a day that I'll stand before God in heaven, and that's the day that I live for. And these are the words that you and I want to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. Listen, Daniel survived suffering and heartache and turmoil because he saw, even when he didn't see it, he trusted God in it. He trusted God is because of it. And listen, I know that there's probably some people in this room. You're walking through valleys. Perhaps it's because of your faith. Perhaps it has nothing to do with your faith. Maybe it's a physical issue. Maybe it's a relationship that's falling apart. Maybe you're just tired and you just want to quit and you want to give up. The Bible says in the last days, many people will fall away. So I believe that this is a prophetic message for the church to follow Daniel's example. When things are great, when things aren't great, and say, God is the one who raises up kings. God is the one who sets people up and sets them down. I resolve to honor God no matter what. I want to close with this movie clip from the movie Ray. And it's an illustration of the life of Ray Charles. Remember, he was the blind musician and songwriter that won a lot of Grammys, won a lot of awards. But the movie illustrates how he grew up in deep poverty in the South and how he had to overcome blindness. And I picked this particular movie clip because I think it illustrates for us a little bit of where we're at. I'm not saying we're blind, but it's almost like the culture is so unfamiliar to us, we have to feel our way around. And we have to make a decision. Are we going to sit and cry? Or are we going to show some spiritual resolve and not just survive, but we're going to thrive in this new culture. Watch this.
I hear you too, Mama. You're right there.
Yes, I am.
Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Can I ask that no one be moving at this time? I believe everybody here today, everybody watching online is doing it because God wanted you to hear this message. For some of you, it's because you need to get right with God. The culture is making you make a choice. But listen, God has wanted you to make a choice for a long time. If the Lord is God, serve Him. Don't keep wavering between two opinions. Choose Jesus. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God, you've never trusted Christ to save you, you've never made a decision that Jesus Christ is going to be the Lord of your life, that you don't just believe in God, but you're ready to repent of the way that you've been living and follow Christ and do all that He asked, today I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you as you begin and make that decision that you're going to serve Jesus from this day forward. How many of you here would raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me. I need to make things right with God. I want to be right with God today. Raise your hand real high. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I'm looking around. Are there others that would raise their hand? I want to make things right with God today, Pastor. Thank you so much for raising your hand. Would you pray this prayer with me, everyone that raised your hand, and everybody that would like to encourage them in this time of prayer? Would you say, Dear God, I choose Jesus. I choose You because You are God. You're in control. You made me. From this day forward, I serve You. You are my Lord. You are in charge. I put my faith in the cross of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus to save me. I agree with You. I've sinned. I'm guilty and I'm sorry. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power to serve Christ every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, those of you that pray just now, on your way out, I want you to go to the Next Steps kiosk. We're going to give you a Bible. We want to encourage you to put some resources in your hand. There's a class we're doing on Wednesday nights that you want to be part of, and they can tell you more about that on your way out there. But I want to pray here today. There's so many things we could pray about. I put a prayer model at the end of your message notes. I encourage you to take it with you and pray that throughout this week. But I feel a very strong tug for people who are weary. I want to pray for people who are tired, people who feel, for whatever reason, maybe the way culture is pulling on you, the constant pressure that you have at work, or maybe something's going on at your house, or I don't know, but you're just weary, you're just tired. And as I was praying before the service today, God just really laid this heavy on my heart that there was many. You just needed a rejuvenation. You just needed God's Spirit to come and give you strength and give you courage and give you power. Today, I want to pray for you and remind you that faith doesn't always take you out of the problem. Sometimes faith takes you through the problem. That faith doesn't always take away the pain. Sometimes faith gives you ability to withstand the pain. Come on, somebody. And today, I believe God wants to minister to some people here today. If that's you here this morning, you say, Pastor, that's me. The Spirit of God is speaking to me. I need some grace. I need some strength. I need some power. I need God to help me today. If that's you, would you stand to your feet right now? Right where you're sitting, would you stand up? Thank you for doing it. Thank you for doing it. Thank you for doing it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for having the courage to stand. Would you give me the privilege of praying for you today? I would really like everybody who's standing to come and join me in this altar so that I can pray with you. Would you come right now? Every one of you, would you come? Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Just press in, press in, press in. Keep coming, keep coming. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. As you're coming to the front, would you lift your hands to heaven? And would you pray this prayer? Dear God, I'm tired. I'm weak. I need your help. Would you give me strength? Would you give me courage? Would you give me power? Like Daniel, give me resolve to serve you no matter what. Help me to remember your purposes, that you're in charge and what you're doing in my life. Holy Spirit, fill me now with strength, with hope, with grace. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to begin to pray right where we're at. We're going to sing this song. I'd like everybody who's willing to help us pray for these men and women. Everybody that's willing, would you come and help us pray here today? Let's spend a few minutes praying for one another, spending some time in God's presence today. Amen. Let's pray right now. Thank you, God.
Are new. Ooh, ooh, all things are new. Ooh. And just before dawn, this might be the hardest season you've experienced. And I know it hurts, it won't be too long. You're closer than you think you are, you're closer than you've been before. So look to the sky, for help is on the way. It's not over, it's not finished, it's not any, it's only the beginning's not over, it's not finished, it's not any, it's only
God. I think the fact that so many of you are up here just tells us this is a right now word for the church. And there's so many of you, I wish I could pray for every one of you individually. But there's so many, we need to start practicing this spiritual community thing right now and pray for each other. Is that okay? I want to make sure everybody's got somebody praying with them. And the best way to do that is everybody pray for each other. Is that all right? So if you're nearby somebody and you don't mind grabbing their hands, if you don't want to grab their hands, just keep your fist closed and they'll know. Okay, I understand the cootie thing. It's fine. That's fine. But I want us to pray for each other right now. And here's what I want us to pray for. I want us to pray for resolve. Resolve, like Daniel, to honor God no matter what. And let's pray that we would remember that God's in control. At the end of the day, He's in control of who's in control. And our job is just to be faithful, to hang on, and to honor the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's begin to pray for each other right now. Let's sing. If you want to help us pray, just stretch your hands toward these men and women. Would you do it? In Jesus' name, just pray for one another right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, give courage, give strength, give hope, give resolve. God, give a supernatural measure of grace from heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, let your will be done. Let your Holy Spirit be poured out. God, make us like Daniel. Make us like Daniel. God, we don't want to quit. We don't want to give up. We want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Holy Spirit, come and be poured out upon your church and upon your people. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, let a river of strength, a river of life, a river of hope flow upon the people of God. We want to honor you, Lord. We want to put you first. God, we want to resolve to bless you, to serve you. In this culture, we pray in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God.
It's not over. It's not finished. It's not ending.
Thank you, God.
It's only the beginning. It's not over. It's not finished. It's not ending. It's over.
One more thing, okay? I really believe that isolation is we can already see, it's a tool of spiritual Babylon to defeat us. And so we can't let that happen. Would you mind taking just one more moment and sharing with somebody near you what it is you're praying about? Tell them your name. Again, you don't have to go into your whole life story. Just take a minute, say, hey, my name is, and this is what I'm praying about today. And then I want you to, if you wouldn't mind, just commit, hey, I'll pray for you this week, that God will give you resolve like Daniel. Is that okay? And then we'll be done, all right? You can stay as long as you want to stay and pray, but I think this is an important next step for everybody. So if you don't mind, whoever's near you, just say, hey, here's my name, here's what I'm praying about, and take a moment to pray. Is that okay? Is that okay? We're going to continue to worship. Everybody else can be blessed. Have a great day in Jesus. God bless you.